Today's meditation, we will take a look at Our Lady and we will accompany her. We pray to the Holy Spirit to guide our prayer time so that He who knows best the heart of the spouse of God, like of the Holy Spirit, she may present to us her Son in the Pietà, this very famous sculpture, with Mary, our mother, with the body of Christ. There are many types of solitudes, of loneliness. There is a loneliness that is a result of sin. When we sin, we feel a void in our hearts. It's the void that comes from regret, from the pain of knowing that we haven't done what we should. But there is also another type of solitude. And it's a solitude that people endure for their own vocations. For example, a widow, when you have lost a beloved one, you feel a loneliness because the person who you loved most is no longer present. But there is also another type of solitude. It's a solitude that is chosen freely out of love of God. That's the solitude that many religious, especially monks or nuns, choose to freely embrace an even deeper love and encounter with Christ. But then there is also one last type of solitude. And it's a solitude proper to the state called desolation. It is when you no longer feel the presence of God. And this last type of solitude is the one that Our Lady experienced on a day like this, on Holy Saturday. She is alone because her Lord has been taken away from her. The world is no longer filled with the presence of God. God is dead. God is no longer among us. And she feels that pain in her heart, her immaculate heart. Her heart has been pierced by that sword prophesied by Simon. She, the mother of sorrows, has this deep grief in her heart. But she also has that faith and that hope and that love that we mentioned yesterday, because she knew that Jesus would fulfill his word. The Lord said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now Our Lady repeats those same words in her heart. My Lord, why have you forsaken me? It's the loneliness of God, the loneliness that the Son experienced from the cross. Now the Mother experiences that solitude in the absence of her Lord. She is the woman, the new Eve, who with her compassion, with her own passion of heart, is now preparing the new people, the church, for her Son. She is the first disciple of the Lord. She is the first model of every Christian. Her compassion is maximum. Compassion means to suffer with. And she suffers with Christ. She participates in his solitude, in his loneliness. We know from having watched the Passion yesterday that one of the sufferings that Jesus had in his way to the cross by seeing his mother. Seeing his mother suffering. Because when you see a person who you love suffer, then you suffer double. We know that Jesus' passion wasn't only a passion of the body, but it was also a passion of the soul, a passion of the heart. And those two hearts, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, were so united in that suffering, in that pain, but also in that solitude, because they couldn't do more than pray. But that prayer is what sustained each one in their place, doing the will of the Father. In the archives of the martyrs, there is martyrdom that is not very well known, but it's very impressive, and it's called the Passion of Saint Calliope. He was a martyr of Pamphylia, and he was arrested during the persecution of Diocletian, and he was a young boy who was captured because he professed his faith. He was tortured and he was imprisoned. And during his imprisonment, his mother went to visit him and encouraged him not to deny his faith. And it so happened that he was crucified, like our Lord, on a Good Friday. And his mother was also present in his martyrdom. And she asked our Lord that he allowed her to die with her son. And Saint Calliope died, and his mother died of sorrow there in the place of the execution. Why didn't Our Lady die with Jesus there in Mount Calvary? She had a special grace. And the grace was that she was called to suffer in a specific way, to suffer to the extreme, because you can only suffer depending on the amount of love that you have. And Our Lady's love was extreme. That's why she didn't die. The Lord sustained her alive so that she could suffer even more out of love for us and out of love for God. Suffering is a mystery, but we have seen that the Lord chooses certain souls to suffer more, not because he hates them, but because he loves them so much that he wants them to be so similar to him. And Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, is the one who's most close and similar to Christ and to God. That's why she is the daughter, beloved daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit, because she has been crowned with that love that is like no other. And that's why her love now is also a reason for us to be able to endure our crosses. She is a pillar for us, just like in that vision of St. John Bosco, where he sees that the church is trembling within, like a ship within the ocean. And he sees that the two pillars that maintain the church steady are the Eucharist and our Blessed Mother. If we're ever in any doubt, if we're ever struggling with our faith, we gotta turn to them, the Eucharist and Our Lady. Our Lady was human. She was not God. But she was so godlike, in a sense, that the divine love of God, Trinity, Triune, was, in a sense, so present in her heart that for us, it is also a refuge, her immaculate heart. We know that she is immaculate precisely because of this, because of the death of her son. It was a grace, a specific grace, that it was before it was applied, the death of her son was applied before time when she was born. So she was immaculate because her son died on the cross and he also redeemed her. She was also redeemed. She was the first redeemed creature. And now she fully understands that mystery of her immaculate conception. She is so pure because she was the first one washed with the blood of Christ. When Sister Claire did her perpetual vows, Father Raphael gave her as a theme, "You must be alone with the Alone One." Mary was the first one to do that. At the beginning, Sister Claire thought, or the community thought, that it was because she was the only sister that was professing her perpetual vows that year. But Father Raphael explained later that there is always to be a place in her heart in which only God can enter. The center of our hearts should always be for God. And that's where we have to be alone with the Alone One. Because it is His. The most profound place of our hearts belong to Him. He created us for Him. But how many times do we give that heart to other creatures? And how many times we long for a greater love, but instead we find that we are lacking precisely that? You must let the Lord take possession, make His throne in the center of your heart, as St. Teresa of Avila said, because the center of your heart is where you have to enthrone the Sacred Heart of Jesus, where you have to let the Lord take His reign. Our Lady did that. She let her son be the center of her life. And even after death, he was still there in a spiritual way, present to her. Now we can fully understand the wounds of Our Lady, those seven swords, Our Lady of Sorrows. She suffered like no other creature has ever suffered or will ever suffer, just like Jesus Christ and the cross, because she was so united to His suffering that now she's so united to His glory. Desolation, or the dark night of the soul, as St. John of the Cross speaks about, consists precisely on that absence of God. It is a state in which the soul is put to a test, in which the soul feels like God is not present, in which the soul feels completely abandoned by God. But we know by faith that God never leaves us. He said, "I will always be with you until the end of time." And the Lord once explained this to St. Catherine of Siena. She was suffering a great temptation against her purity. And the Lord, at the end, appeared to her. And she complained to the Lord, saying, "Where were you, my Jesus, when I was suffering this temptation? I almost fell into it and sinned. But thanks be to God, I didn't. But where were you?" And the Lord asked her, "Do you want to do those things you were tempted by?" And she said, "No, Lord, never." And He said to her, "Well, there I was. I was the one sustaining you in grace. I was the one who was giving you the strength to reject sin. I was there with you." And then she understood that even if we don't feel His presence, that doesn't mean that He's not there. He never abandons us. And Our Lady too understood this, despite of all her suffering, which was real. Because even though she had that faith and that hope and that love, her suffering was real. It was the suffering of a mother who loses her child. The suffering of losing the most beloved person. But she was sustained precisely because of that. Because of her holiness, because of her heroic virtue, because of her union with God. That's what she was, by the cross, standing, Stabat Mater. Our Lady of Sorrows, she is the first one to have loved, and as Fulton Sheen, I think, has the book called The First, the World's First Love. She loved the world so much that just as God the Father had given up His Son for us, she too gave her Son for us. Mother and Father gave their child to sinful humanity so that sinful humanity may go back to God and become holy. And one last thing. The suffering of Our Lady was not only a compassion, but also, in a sense, a mystical passion in her in itself. First, her capacity to suffer was derived from her capacity to love. Because when one loves, one suffers with the beloved. Saint Paul of the Cross says that the passion of Christ is a sea of sorrow, but an ocean of love. If you love, suffering is overcome by love itself. Second, she felt that she was also part of the passion of the Lord. We know that she didn't torture her Son. She didn't do anything wrong. She was immaculate. But her presence there made her Son suffer more. But she didn't want that, obviously. But she knew that her solitude and her pain hurt His heart as well. But she also knew that it also gave Him strength. After He fell, He was able to rise up again because her love gave Him strength. Because by seeing His mother, Jesus knew that His passion hadn't been in vain. And lastly, her sorrow was a way of honoring the Most Holy Trinity. Because the God the Father permitted suffering, not because He wanted to torture His Son, but because He wanted Him to be crowned in glory, to crown His Son in glory. And so our God the Father permitted Our Lady to suffer in such a way to crown her Queen of Heaven and Earth, to unite His mother in the most profound way that God can be united to a human creature. Now let us accompany Our Lady by meditating on her suffering and her pain and her loneliness, but asking her to sustain us and to help us understand when we are lonely, when we suffer and we have pain. She is Mother, and she understands us more than anyone. So just as we can say that there is no suffering that the Lord doesn't understand, there is also no suffering that Our Lady doesn't understand.